one of the Sunday school classes, and I found very quickly she was a lady who wanted things to be her own way. There was a time where we set up tables. We'd spend a lot of time setting up the tables in our church for a Christmas dinner. And then she came in and I asked her, could you set up one table this way? And then she reorganized all of the tables to the way she thought would be better. Then there was the other time when she decided that the curriculum that we've asked them to teach, she wasn't going to use that. She was going to simply write her own. And when I confronted about her, she said, oh, Pastor, you are not taking the Bible seriously. You don't care about the salvation of our kids. To be very honestly, I was scared to death of this lady. So she and her husband left our church. It was the first family to leave on bad terms, and I was left with a hole in my heart. After that, another family came, and they got deeply involved. The wife became the leader of our women's ministry, and the husband kind of got involved with the discipleship group. He was an usher. And then, after time, the husband decided he didn't like our church. And he told me on a Sunday morning, just before we started worshiping, as he was serving as the usher, giving bulletins out to people, Pastor, this is our last week. We're not coming back. And when I asked him why, he says, well, it's really your sermons. I don't think you're taking the Bible seriously enough. See, after these instances, I began to struggle with a spirit of fear. And I began to wonder, who is going to be the next person to let me down? Who's going to be the next person that I feels like stabs me in the back? Or the next person that will abandon me. You know, as God continues to shape you into the character of Jesus, you will experience temptations or the spirit of fear and of pride and of criticism. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it is so easy when those temptations come to begin to let these spirits to balloon and to inflate. And these spirits grow as we feed them and we think about them and as we ponder them. And the truth is, even in Christian ministry, you will experience these, and if you let them grow, they will block your view of Jesus. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul is writing to Christian believers and leaders as they learn to grow more about Jesus. And this is what he says in chapter 1, verse 9. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. When you follow Jesus, you will increase in knowledge. And you know, one of the things is when you have knowledge, you have power. It's simply, they go together. But one of the things that we are tempted to believe is that our knowledge and power are ours. And when we do that, when we receive titles and accolades and, you know, nice words about us, then we begin to be tempted to pride. I know best. But you know what? Paul says pride is not the way of Jesus. In fact, Paul later in Philippians says another way. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You see, the Spirit of God begins to help us see people the way that he sees them. And we begin to value people the way that he values them. But when we are suffering a spirit of pride, God says, this is your opportunity to take on the form of Jesus. And as you begin to take on the form of Jesus and serve others, especially those that you feel that you know better, then God begins to deflate our pride. You know, in the Philippian Christians loved Jesus, but they also had disagreements and they had conflicts with one another. And this is what we read at the beginning of our scripture. I plead with Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I ask you, my true companion, to help these women, since they have contended by my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the other co-workers whose names are in the book of life. You see, when we work together in the church, when you study together in this community, you can just count on the fact that there is going to be disagreements, misunderstandings, there's going to be just outright arguments. It's going to happen. Euodia and Syntyche were not just participants of the church, they were leaders in this church that Paul calls co-workers, but it seems to me that they were struggling with the spirit of criticism, and criticism seeks to get its own way by going negative with another person. And it is so easy to criticize, so easy, but here is a fact. Criticism never solves a problem. It only divides. And Paul reminds us, this is not the way of Jesus. There's a better way. In Philippians 2:8, he says, "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus trusted his Father even to death. And so when we begin to suffer from the spirit of criticism, one of the ways that we can follow Jesus is by practicing submission. You see, one of the things that submission does is it is the way that we take up our cross and follow him. Difficulties and persecutions will happen in life, but the Spirit of Jesus helps us to submit by seeking to engage and to understand another person. The spirit of submission destroys the spirit of criticism. So the last one is the spirit of fear. We are going to have difficulties and persecutions that will happen. Jesus said we would. I honestly don't look forward to those. But they're just going to happen. So get ready, right? In fact, maybe you're afraid of the assignments that you have to do today. Amen? Perhaps you're afraid of the readings that you have to do for these upcoming end of semester. Amen? Maybe you're not worried about it? Okay. You know, a spirit of fear doesn't help us. I remember being terrified of the long paper I had to finish writing for Dr. Cunningham in one of the history classes. And I spent so much time and I got so much stress over it. But you know, what I love about the symbol of the cross is that the symbol of the cross is an empty cross. Jesus is not hanging on it. He's gone. He is alive. And in the spirit of fear, it is not the spirit of Jesus. And this is why Paul says in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, or let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. And because he's near, don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what will happen? The peace of God will guard, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus does not give you a spirit of fear. In fact, we can rejoice, choosing to rejoice even if we feel afraid. Why? Because we confess, God, you are near. You remember. You trust me. And this will teach us how to not just escape our fears, but to face them, to learn how to study, to learn how to speak English. And I'm so sorry that you have to learn our rules of grammar. They're really so horrible. To learn how to write that term paper, to learn how to collect your thoughts and be clear in what you're doing, to learn how to learn. Or perhaps it involves facing the fears of how to deal with conflict or how to respond when people abandon us, stab us in the back, or leave us. But we don't have to do these things alone. And you know what? When we choose to come and praise God, not because we feel joyful, when we choose to make a practice of joy, and when we choose to make a practice of praise and gratitude, we begin to puncture and to deflate the spirit of fear. And so, worship team, if you'd come back up, today I want to ask you, Jesus himself was tempted by the spirit of pride and fear and criticism. And as you mature in Jesus, as you continue your studies in the day-to-day of life together in this community, you also will be tempted. But this is what Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. It is as we're willing to admit and to trust God with these things that come up in life that he begins to form in us something that is different, something that is very beautiful, something that looks like Jesus. He begins to form gentleness. The way of Jesus is gentleness. And as we choose to practice service and submission and joy and gratitude, these help us to become gentle through the Holy Spirit as Jesus himself is gentle. I've sat in your chair and I realize that today is God showing you a spirit of pride. Maybe the pride is the nation you come from, but that's not the right kind of pride. It's the pride that looks down at other nations and cultures because they're different. Perhaps is God showing you a spirit of the pride of wealth or the pride of knowledge or maybe the pride of your great devotion of Jesus that other people can't live up to. Maybe today is God showing you a spirit of criticism, perhaps at other students or professors, criticism of church members or church leaders, or criticism of the people who live around you in your community because they don't act the way that you feel that they should. Or today is God showing you a spirit of fear, the fear of learning and speaking English, the fear of studies, the fear of being hurt, the fear of being rejected, or the fear of persecution. As we sing this song, one of the great things that we do, a physical practice of submission and of joy and of gratitude, is these altars, where we say, I admit, God, that these are things in my life and I want you to do something with them. Would you guide me? Because these spirits block you and you bring life. So as we sing, if you would like to stand and worship, if you would like to come and kneel and pray, grab someone to come with you and say, would you pray with me? And can I share with you what God is showing me in my life? And would you pray for me? And as we do this, may this be our way of honoring God, not just in words, but in actions and in deeds.